Welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Today, we have a special one because it's the OG crew. This is literally how the tech podcast began.
I was like, wait a minute. Nick? Wait a minute. OG crew? You always say that when it's Randy and me. But then I was like, oh, I guess this is the OG crew. Huh?
OG.
The OG.
OG, OG, OG crew.
There you go.
Because originally, there was not a tech podcast, and then you approached me and said, I'll handle everything so that there can be a tech podcast. And I was like, cool. And then it was just you and me talking like this. So now we're going back to our roots, I guess.
Yep.
And
it was super boring, you know, back before we found Randy. And the audio was really bad. Hopefully it's better
now.
So now
we're going back to our... Yeah, we'll see. We're going back to our super boring roots.
We have exciting...
super boring.
Yeah, we have exciting things to talk about, so it won't be boring.
I think this was one of the biggest events Apple ever did.
You know, I thought
this
that too.
Huge.
I thought that too until.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Until?
Until
what?
Until. So, I didn't watch it live, unfortunately. I had some things come up and I couldn't watch it live. Thank you for not spoiling it for me, though. I really do appreciate that. I literally deleted Twitter and YouTube that day because I did not want to be spoiled at all.
I want the audience to know I texted Nick fake announcements.
Did.
I said they announced AirPower today. And they're bringing back the headphone jack. They also released a Product Red iPhone Max.
Yep. Oh, yeah. No, I knew.
Seven-inch display.
I knew what was happening. Come on.
You knew, but you also knew there was like a 1%
exactly,
chance.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
It was enough to tick you off.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So then I watched the...
What was it like?
Watching it late?
Yeah, what was it like not having a chat or anything or being like trying to stay offline and then finally you find the time in the day to watch the whole event?
Oddly, it was kind of peaceful. Like I was the one who made the decision that I couldn't watch it live. And so I didn't feel like, you know, my mom made me, you know, do the dishes or whatever, you know. Like it wasn't
Mom, there's an event today. Mom.
Exactly. No, I didn't feel anything like that. So I was just like, you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm going to watch it when I watch it. I'm not going to stress about it. But when I sat down to watch it, it was like 5 o'clock or so. I was on the East Coast at the time.
Okay.
There were no replays available. I asked Krista White and Scott.
That's frustrating.
Yeah, to like look for replays. But Apple hadn't finished their replay yet, and the stream was down.
That's right.
So the only thing I had was your Twitch stream, which was still available.
So you had to still watch me.
Yes,
watch it.
I did.
In all of its lagginess.
Yes. Well, it was
all
much better
drop.
On the it was much better on the replay. There wasn't everyone was talking about audio, like the audio is going loud and quiet and loud and quiet, and I was like, I don't know what they're talking about.
Oh my god,
they
complain so
perfect.
Much. Yeah, that is like half the chat's like, don't change the audio, and then a quarter of the chat's like, can you make your voice louder? And the other quarter's like, can you make your voice quieter? And I'm like, what do I do? So I stream like every other day, and I never have any bandwidth issues, and then suddenly with this live stream I had tons of frame drops, and I was like, what the heck?
Because everyone else in the world was watching
it. So you finally got to watch it.
Yeah. So,
yes.
So
maybe that's what it was.
Yeah. So I finally watched it, and I like had time to... Yeah, I sat in my room, and it was like all dark, and I was like very focused, and I just sat through and watched it all straight, and I skipped through the boring parts. Sorry, I missed your fun commentary.
Oh.
But I really, really...
What were the boring parts to you?
The boring parts, most of the demos of the... the guy with the Apple Pencil, and like he couldn't get the copy and paste thing to work.
Oh,
and
that
was just
guy
like,
was nervous as hell.
Yeah. I was like,
he had no idea. Yeah, I felt bad for that.
Me too. I was just like, I can't watch this. I'm skipping this.
The cringe.
Exactly. Very much cringe. So
some firm cringe.
So I sat through and watched the whole thing straight through, and then I sat down and I was like, okay. I have a little bit more time here. I want to watch the best Apple keynote and compare it. So I pulled up the original iPhone release keynote by Steve Jobs.
Oh, wow.
And I watched that
one. You probably know that one by heart.
Pretty much. But, you know, I know the Apple
a
Watch.
A phone.
And
a music player.
No, come on. You're
an
messing
internet
it up.
Communication.
Drew, you're the Apple sheep. And a widescreen iPod with touch controls.
Widescreen iPod. There you go. Thank you.
A revolutionary new mobile phone.
Did you know back then
breakthrough
they didn't
internet communicators
live streams?
Yeah, they didn't do the live streams. Steve Jobs didn't want to do the live streams for like the longest time. It was technically possible to have live streams, but he didn't want them live streamed because he would go through and edit like if they're like, you know, the supercuts of, you know, him getting mad with the, you know, whatever, not connecting to the internet fast enough, or the 3G going faster than the 4 during that demo.
He wanted
or
that
whatever
cut out.
Yeah, and so he'd go through and edit it and make sure it looked pretty, which is fine, but yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I watched that demo and like the whole iPhone demo and just like knowing the mayhem behind the scenes, like hindsight, and you know, Scott Forstall, you know, told us all about the the craziness behind the scenes. And so, I don't know. I couldn't decide which one was better. They were both that good. Like, obviously, the iPhone one has, like, historical value, and there's a lot
of course,
important things happening on it. But this WWDC was just about as fluid and quick and jam-packed with information, and it kept moving, and they it was a wonderful keynote. And they had, like, features that that people wanted. You think about back to, I don't know, iOS 10 or something, and they're like, ooh, it's more stable, or, you know, whatever. And it's just kind of like lackluster crowd. Like, the crowds, the crowd when they did the dark mode reveal, it was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
No one in this room has ever been waiting for dark mode, ever. Come on, guys. So.
Right. There was, like, last year's Worldwide Developers Conference was not that exciting.
No.
iOS 12 was good, but, you know, it wasn't stand out of your seat good and start applauding. Whereas this, they were adding so much. Every 10 minutes, there was another big, big change that people had been asking for so long. It was so interesting to see Apple go ahead and cave on a lot of things that I always thought, nah, they're Apple. They're too stubborn. They wouldn't add external drive support to the iPad. They wouldn't do that. Or why can't they load the desktop version of Safari? Eh, that's okay.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do that. But then they did it. And adding all these things, and the redesigned Maps app, I think, was wonderful.
Yes.
As photos and music. And
can we go through the event in order? Let's go through the event, talk about what we liked, and then talk about the betas, because we could talk about the betas all day. So let's talk about the important stuff first. So what was the first thing they released?
TVOS.
Yeah, TVOS. That went through so fast.
And
I was like, wait, did I blink? Yeah. Is this over now?
Right.
Like, literally.
We're used to so much fluff.
Exactly. Literally every single person that I've ever heard talk about TVOS has asked for one thing, multiple users. That's like for 10 years they've been asking for multiple users. And Tim Cook was like, you know, oh, and we have multiple users and it works just the way you'd expect. Moving on to WatchOS.
Like, whoa. And they announced the controller support, which I forgot to bring up in my recap video, which I was totally not expecting.
Me neither.
That's something that I always thought Apple was so finicky and arrogant about, and I was like, nah, they won't add Xbox and PlayStation controller support. And then there they go.
Yep.
Even Tim himself, like, I can tell there's a lot of PlayStation users out there.
Oh, my
Good
goodness. The crowd, though, when they did, like, Xbox controller, and it was like, woo! And then they're like, and PlayStation controls, like,
yeah,
it's like, whoa,
and then a cheer four times louder came
exactly
forward. Yeah, well, I was excited for that because I have an Elite controller, which is like,
oh,
to me, the
oh,
most comfortable.
Okay,
and
Drew,
premium.
Okay, you have an Elite controller, I just have a controller.
It's the Amex card of console controllers because it's literally made of metal and it feels very, very nice. So I wish PlayStation had something like that, because I like PlayStation controllers, but I don't like the plasticky, rubbery feel.
Yeah.
So, knowing that I can now use that with my iPad and my phone and my TV if I wanted to is fantastic. So, yeah, that's two big things added to TVOS that'll make a big difference. And then WatchOS, I think, was next.
Yep.
What did you think of WatchOS 6?
It's fine. I'm kind of mad at it right now because it has since bricked my Apple Watch. But we'll talk about that
in
a minute.
Brick. Okay, we'll save it for that.
Yeah.
Well, I have WatchOS 6.
Okay, good. You tell me about it. I'm bitter. You talk about it.
I will tell you all about how great it is. I have to say my favorite feature has to be menstrual tracking. I've been using that a ton.
Oh my gosh!
It's just very helpful.
Okay, Randy, can you edit this out?
No. No, this is all staying. Oh. There were a ton of features they changed on watchOS 6 that they didn't talk about on stage.
Like what?
That you will come to enjoy once you get your watch working correctly. They've updated the Now Playing tab from before, which I think makes way more sense now. For one, it's a standalone app now.
Okay.
Before, it was just like a toggle. Or it was a little pop-up that if you had music playing, you could tap on it. But now it's actually part of the home screen. You can, like, directly open it. And it's not going to be easy to describe it on the podcast. But before, the digital crown changing the volume would open up this little circular round volume indicator. You know how it is at the bottom of the screen. Now they've removed that little bottom volume thing, and the volume indicator has been moved to right next to the digital crown, like it is on, I think it's the walkie-talkie app.
Mm-hmm.
You remember how the volume indicator is on that? It's up in the corner now, and also how the time code of what you're in the song is around the play pause button in the center. So as the song goes on, the time head will circulate around that play pause.
Interesting.
And that allows for more controls at the bottom. So you have at the bottom do you want to shuffle? Do you want to loop? Do you want to loop this song? Or do you want to loop this album? And then there's the three dots in the bottom quarter that allow you to remove, love, dislike, or add the music. Plus you have the AirPlay controls in the bottom left. So Now Playing has been adequately and expertly redesigned to be way more practical and way more informative. So
that's great.
I feel like they could have talked about that, but they had a ton of stuff, and I feel like that's not getting enough attention. In fact, I'll probably talk about that in today's tech video, because I feel like watchOS 6 is not getting enough attention.
Yeah.
And other things they've added. The
App Store?
The App Store. I haven't used it very much, to be honest.
Me neither.
There's not a ton of third-party apps. Yeah, you probably have a harder time with it, huh?
I also haven't had activity tracking for 2 days. Woohoo!
Yeah, right.
There went all my June streaks.
Did that ruin your streak?
Yep, it's ruined my June streaks.
Oh, I'm sorry, Nick.
Oh, well. That sucks. I'm a thrill seeker.
That's the problem with these betas.
Yep.
This is what happens.
So
I thought you being the kind of person you are, you'd buy a new Apple Watch and pair it to your phone just to make sure the streak keeps going. Let me get a Series 3 really quick.
No, I lost. I finished my 365-day streak in like September, like exactly 1 year after I got my first Apple Watch. And that was kind of when I was like, okay, I'm done now. And, you know.
I see.
So,
okay.
Yeah, but
well,
yeah.
The other thing was they added the decibel hearing.
Yeah. I'm really curious.
Which,
yeah, I'm really curious to how that actually works, like behind the scenes. Like,
mm-hmm.
it only, they said on stage, it only listens in periodically. But,
mm-hmm.
like, from what I saw on, like, different YouTubers who have, like, showed the feature working on the complication, it looks like it's always listening. Like, it's very responsive to you know, loudness. And, like, they even demoed it on stage, like, with the lady, you know, asking people to cheer. Also, cringe. Very much cringe. That whole demo was cringe.
Make some noise. You can clap now. Yeah. That's always fun to hear. Make some real noise.
They should have just released dark mode just right then and, you know. During the dark mode reveal, just had the little indicator pop up on the screen.
She doesn't even have like a outro. She just walks off stage.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
Yeah, it was whatever. Like, okay, weird. But yeah,
the only time I've had it go off is in the car.
What were you doing
in my current vehicle? And so I leave all the windows down, and oftentimes because it's very hot, I leave my my arm with my Apple Watch hanging out the window.
Oh my god!
So that I can feel the wind. And that's when I got the notification that's like, hey, this is noisy. It's like, yeah, you're a microphone going 45 miles an hour outside a car. I bet it's noisy. So when that happens, I'm like, eh, okay. But yeah, I don't go to a lot of concerts or events, so I guess I don't.
Yeah, me neither. I never
There's
leave
not a
the
lot of cases where it goes off.
I haven't been let out of my insane asylum ward for a couple months now, so.
Right. Yeah, see, the only, I kind of look at the loud environment app as the Breathe app. You know, it's like, okay, I'm sure in like some instances that might be helpful, but I'm not going to use it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to take a moment of my day to use the Breathe app. Some people might, but it's not me. So that's kind of my opinion on the noise thing. I don't really need it, but it's cool. It's cool.
Yep.
Why not?
Definitely.
And I'm just now realizing that the phone, when you're having a phone call on the Apple Watch,
mm-hmm.
There's a new splash screen on watchOS 6 because this is the first time I've had a phone call in a long time. Now it has your name there and how long the phone call's been going. So I'm going to screenshot that because I didn't know it did that.
Interesting. There you go.
Include that in today's video. That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. And you can change what you're coming out of. So I'm hearing your voice via AirPods right now. You can change that to the HomePod or the watch speaker.
Weird.
That's neat.
That's very neat.
Cool.
So after watchOS, what did they do?
WatchOS.
What was next? Was that iOS?
I think that was iOS 13. Yeah. And this was a big one.
It was
definitely.
And Craig said their crack marketing team has demonstrated an amazing ability, the ability to count well into the double digits.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Craig.
I was
Craig.
Like, when he started saying that, I was worried they were going to give iOS like a.
I
a
know,
weird
right?
Name
me too.
Based on a California location. And I was like, oh, no, don't do this to iOS.
Yes.
He was like, 13.
It's like, okay.
Oh, good. Thank God.
Also, did you notice how. Like, when Tim Cook walked on stage, like, you know, after mm-hmm. whatever the Apple Watch demo, like, it was like, oh,
yeah.
Yay, clap, 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 clap. And then, like, when he's like, mm-hmm. and I'm going to bring up Craig Federighi, it was just like,
yeah. Everyone's like, yay, the comedian has entered the stage.
Finally, it was getting boring.
Yes.
Yes.
He did a lot of this presentation.
I love
which
Craig.
Is good because
he is
I think
best
he's
presenter.
The best at presenting.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
He's so calm and very polished.
Doing.
Yeah, it's great.
Very polished.
Except whenever
so
you see him zoomed in on an
first thing.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, dark mode. So
mm-hmm.
that was the first thing. I obviously we all knew it was coming, but I really mm-hmm. liked the reveal video. The underwater with the jellyfish. I was like, oh,
that was cool.
And when
that
the jellyfish
very, very
came
cool.
through and they were like all pink and blue and neon, I was like, oh, I really want this to be like an option to like have it be like more neon-y mm-hmm. and like, I don't know, more vibrant colors. Does that make any sense? Like instead
of
just black and white.
Kinda like the event promotional images
exactly.
kind of.
Exactly. Yes. Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah. That
yeah.
was awesome.
I think they nailed it having used dark mode
nailed
for
it.
A little while. It's a healthy combination of dark gray and true black.
Yep.
It's not all of one or the other. It's just kind of the perfect middle ground to make it still
yep.
look good, but much easier on the eyes. So dark mode was a big one. Then I think they talked about, man, I'm going to have a hard time remembering. It was either photos or maps or something.
Probably
what
like
did
photos.
You think of the new maps update?
So the new maps update is amazing. Like
yeah.
I didn't realize
I was impressed by the look around.
That look around thing. I didn't realize how bad Google Maps like Street View thing is
yeah.
until
right.
I saw that demo and
mm-hmm.
the lady like double tapped it and it like oh my goodness, it blew my mind. It's like I'm there. This is in three
like
dimensions. It's wow.
Right. Like a seamless 3D look around instead
yes.
of what Google Maps is, which is just like big 360 degree JPEGs.
Mm-hmm.
Which
absolutely.
Have no depth to them. And
yeah.
now, whenever you, like... Sadly, look around is not available in a ton of places. That's its
yeah.
downside. It looks really cool.
Where is it available?
But,
do you know? I've only found it in San Francisco.
I've gone anywhere in Hawaii has it.
Oh, interesting.
For the most part. Any major city with the 3D mapping stuff has it. So, yeah, they definitely don't have it in as many places. But I'm sure they're working on bringing that to as many places as possible. But
yeah.
Either way, I'm glad they're getting it right. Even if they're getting it late, they're getting a more immersive 3D environment that looks like it has way more depth than the standard Google Maps animation that we've all
yeah.
been looking at for years. But I'm sure Google, once they see this, they're instantly going to go start driving cars out there again with
yeah.
LiDAR, making sure they get 3D maps of everything.
They're
working
on it.
You're
not wrong. You're not wrong. Yeah, it does work in Hawaii. That's
right.
Great. So one of my other favorite features of the Maps app are these
mm-hmm.
collections that they have. That's
yeah.
It's something I didn't know I wanted, but now that I have it, I love it.
Mm.
it is really nice to be able to, like, put things in, like, categories. Like, I'm planning a trip, you know, I want to go to these eight places instead of having a note with a bunch of, you know, locations pinned on the map or whatever. It's just all in one place. And I think that's really going to be useful to, you know, plan things and just have it all there. And you can, like, have your favorites and, I don't know, I like it. I think it's good.
That was useful.
Yep.
I loved it, yeah. I like how they've now added the ability to set your profile picture in iMessage.
Ah, yes. Let's talk about that.
Which I'm already noticing in my experience with, like, texting people who have the beta right now. I get this little pop-up that says, this contact has decided on this profile picture. Would you like to update it?
Yep.
And I can just click update, or I can ignore it. If some people have profile pictures that I don't like, so I'll just ignore theirs.
Ouch.
Like, nah, I want
this. Ouch. Jeez, is it that bad? I know I have an ugly face, but this...
No, I have, like, the first one you sent me, which is just your Twitter profile picture.
Oh, yeah.
But, There was one that was someone wanted to update theirs with their Memoji, and I was like, nah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
I don't want their Memoji in my iMessage app. They may want me to have it, but I don't. I want their actual face. So I just ignored it. But it's so much better now because I'm so used to just having the two initials throughout the whole iMessage app.
Oh.
There's so many people, like, I either don't remember to give them a profile picture, I don't have a good picture of them. So I don't want to go get it. So once everyone else switches to iOS 13, it'll make this way, way easier, as long as they don't make it a joke.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's really, really nice.
Yeah, I think that... So I've always been very careful to have pictures on all of my things. I even, like, strong-arm people into sending me pictures of them so I could have a profile picture for them, because literally every single person I message has some kind of profile picture, and it's nice now that's going
to
be default. Yep,
definitely.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yep. And so
what other big changes were there?
I am still curious on how that works, though. Like, if you know, say for example someone finds my number on the internet and they text it, will they see my face and then, like, know that it's actually me and I can't, like, pretend it's not me?
If you recall from the beta, it does ask you when you set it up. It'll say,
Yeah.
Do you want your picture to be shared with just contacts or ask only?
Okay.
Which I believe means that as long as you set it to contacts, if someone texts you who's not in your contacts, they won't see the picture.
Okay.
Which I believe is how it works.
Yeah,
I don't think they will automatically send out your picture to anyone who randomly texts you.
That would be
thankfully
bad.
Yeah, that would be bad. You'd be like, oh, this is Tim Cook.
Also, they put Tim Cook's phone number up on stage. Like, I'm sure half of the internet called. I think it was like Tim Cook's contact or something. Like, they had a contact card for him with, like, a phone number. I'm sure that that poor person
is going
to
find
that
out the 555 rule.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
To all those who don't know it, but for those who don't know, there is no phone number that starts with 555.
Yep.
That's why in most movies, any phone number that appears on screen will be a 555 number, because that's not real. Anyway, moving on.
Yep. So after iOS, what did they announce?
iPad OS, which is kind of iOS.
Yes.
In a way. It's also so drastically different because they're adding so much to the iPad that wasn't there before, so much directly requested features that I think a ton of people are now going to be sold on the iPad that weren't before, like our friend John Prosser, who bought an iPad after the event. So what did you think of iPadOS?
It's kind of mixed emotions. It is just about everything I wanted out of iPadOS. Really, I was happy on iOS 12. I survived for 4 months. Perfectly content with iPad as my main device trying to finish up my graduate school. So I was writing papers and copying file trees and finishing up my thesis and, you know, doing all those things just on my iPad. I was perfectly fine with
He actually finished his thesis, people. That's not a joke.
Yeah, no, on my iPad. And there were a few times that Microsoft Word, like, pretended to bug out on me and I freaked out a little, but no, iCloud Drive saved it. Thank you, iCloud.
Oh, thank God.
I know. That's why I'm an Apple sheep. No, so I always found ways to work around it. Like these people who are like, mm-hmm. oh, I can't have two Word documents next to me. Now you can in iOS 13 or iPad OS 13. But I always mm-hmm. found a way to work around it. A really good solution for me sure. was always to take a screenshot and then just, you know, put that in the photos and get the photos up. I mean, like, there's always workarounds. And I do appreciate mm-hmm. that they made the workflows simpler and like more intuitive. But at the same time, I was a professional at using my iPad the way it used to be. And now it's all different and I got to relearn everything. It's kind of sad.
Mm.
So.
Okay. So what things do you have to relearn that you don't like?
The whole slide over thing is really confusing for me. I don't know why.
Okay.
I get how it works in theory, but it just doesn't feel very fluid. Like, okay, so you drag Twitter over Maps, and then you can drag yeah. Mail over Twitter, and you have now mm-hmm. the extra home bar, and you can swipe between those. But I can never right. get the slide over thing to go away on the corner. Every time I drag the little
yeah,
bar
I discovered
thing
that
on the
too.
Corner, it, I cannot
when
make
I started
it
doing the slide over things, yeah. I couldn't figure out how to get how to dismiss those.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's something missing because what I saw in the iPadOS preview was when you activate multitasking, the slide over menus will appear with all of your other 4:3 aspect ratio apps. All of those tall apps that yeah. are running in slide over will appear also. I saw that in the preview, but now with iPadOS on my iPad, I'm not seeing it. No, I'm not a huge user of slide over in the first place. I'm always using split screen.
Ooh, interesting.
And what I do like now is they default to split screen being straight down the middle. With iOS 12,
yeah.
as soon as you tried to do split screen, it would default to the right third, and mm-hmm. then you would have to move it to be split screen. Now they've defaulted it to be straight down the middle, which I actually prefer that. To me, yep. that's more intuitive, and that's more accustomed to what I'm typically doing. So,
yep.
I prefer it.
Yeah, I don't have anything bad to say about iPadOS. It's just going to be another learning curve, and I'm kind of sad because
yeah.
I spent like 2 weeks learning how to use my iPad as like my main device, and like, and I find it really interesting that it now it's a quote unquote a feature that you can zip and unzip files on the iPad. I was able to do that.
Yeah.
I've totally downloaded zip files and unzip them. It takes like 5 minutes and lots of clicks and steps and
how'd
stuff.
How'd you do it? In files?
So you go to the Safari webpage where and to mm-hmm. download it, because there's no like download thing on the old iOS 12. You share it,
right.
you push the share button, and then you click save to files, and then you click mm-hmm. where you want to save it, and then you go to that file okay. in the files app, and then you click it, and then you long press, and I think it's like an edit button or something, and then it's preview, and then when you're in this
okay.
preview mode, it kind of looks like when you're viewing like a markup PDF. There's another share
right.
button inside of that preview window that says, then you click that share button, and then you save it to files, and then it saves whatever you're looking at as a separate PDF in that file, or Word document or Excel document or whatever. And so, I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, that's real simple.
Oh, super simple. Barely an inconvenience.
Opposed to a Mac where you just click on it.
Exactly. But I was... Dang it, Drew. I was proud that I figured that out. Come on.
I'm proud. I'm proud you figured that out. But
and now
that's
it's
definitely not
special.
Not a... Yeah, no. It's like I'm sure there was some real complicated way to get flash drive support on the iPad, too.
Oh, probably.
Now that they've simplified it, I'm happy. And we forgot
exactly.
to mention on both iOS 13 and dark mode, volume indicator has
Woo!
Been moved. And
I
it
actually,
is gorgeous.
I actually kind of miss it.
Oh, come on.
I like it Nick. The old way. Come on.
Why do you like it the old way?
Because, okay, so the original...
You couldn't move it with your finger before.
Who
now
cares?
You can.
I have buttons on the side.
But what if you're... What if...
I have irrational thingies. The original iPhone...
You can mute it
the
faster
original,
than ever before.
The original iPhone product keynote with Steve Jobs in 2007... He accidentally clicked the volume up indicator, and it was the exact same HUD as it was on my iPad a couple of days ago. And
yeah,
now
the
that's...
The exact same terrible HUD that...
No, it wasn't terrible. It was one of the last remnants of Steve Jobs. And they deleted it. Just like they
you know
deleted my
Steve
home
Jobs
button.
Is dead, Nick?
Why?
Because he thought he could cure cancer with fruit.
Ooh.
And he was wrong.
No, you know why Steve
just
Jobs is dead?
Steve is not right about everything.
Do you know why Steve Jobs is actually dead, Drew? He contracted PC. pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, you know what happened when Ashton Kutcher switched to the fruitarian diet while filming Jobs?
No.
He started having pancreas problems.
Oh, my God.
Because it's not that healthy a lifestyle. It's dangerous.
Fine. Okay, fine. You win. The
I'm
new HUD
saying,
is decent.
It's not a perfect human.
But if you like the HUD on iOS and iPadOS, why aren't you infuriated that Catalina has the same HUD as it's always been?
I am infuriated.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
like that. They should have updated the volume indicator on Catalina to be closer to that of the iOS one, because I like
yeah.
it. I mean, it doesn't make as much sense because Mac's not a touchscreen, but they could have at least put it off to the side. But it takes up less of the space than the iOS one did, so
yeah.
I'm not terribly upset about it. But there's always next year, I guess.
Yep, next year. So that was
something for macOS Flying Squirrel.
Oh, my gosh.
That was glorious.
That was glorious.
Real.
I'm like, yes, please use that app, folks. That we know what you're doing on that crack marketing team.
Do you like the widgets on the home screen on the iPad?
Okay, so yeah, that's another thing. I kind of had to rearrange my home screen because it looked weird. Originally, on iOS 12, I had all of my apps and folders inside my dock. So I had all 15 on the dock
right.
plus a bunch of folders.
I remember that.
And so there's yeah. nothing on my home screen, and I liked it like that because any app I was in, I could just swipe up and just get to the dock, and everything was there. But
mm-hmm.
now whenever I go home with iOS 13, there's just this widget sitting on the corner, and there's nothing on the side, and I'm like, this doesn't
well,
look
you can get rid
anymore.
Of them.
Well, I know you can get rid of them, but I want to flex that I have iOS 13. Gosh, I spent 2 days trying to get this beta installed. Might as well flex on it. So I did rearrange
yeah,
my home
yeah.
screen. So I have just one page of apps and some folders
mm-hmm.
and stuff. And I think it looks pretty clean. And it is nicer not to have to dig into folders for things that I use quite frequently.
Yeah, I think it's quicker that way.
You know, whatever. But it's less minimal. But, oh well. I don't know.
Well, if you want to go back to minimal, you can still have that old-fashioned lock screen you used to.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, why do that when I have iOS 13? So yeah, it's fine. I know that people were really waiting for widgets, and all those Android users just can't imagine life without widgets on their home screen. But I never had them before, and they're just sitting there. I have batteries at the top. Like, I use 4 widgets: batteries, up next calendar, Siri app suggestions, and news. That's literally all the widgets.
Yeah,
I
batteries
ever have.
Is at the top for me too.
Yeah, and it is nice. I'm just looking at my iPad home screen right now, and I can see my right AirPod is at 32%. And my Apple Pencil's at 100.
Yeah,
my
same.
iPad's at 82. Like, that is helpful information. My next calendar appointment, I guess, is kind of helpful. Siri app suggestions.
What we could have used is a calculator widget.
Oh, ouch.
That way we could at least have the calculator as an overlay on the home screen. Because there's still no calculator. That's right. The Apple Watch got it before the iPad.
So, you
now,
know
the
what?
Real question.
Go
what?
Ahead. Well, so when I was cleaning up my home screen, I emptied out all my folders and I like reorganized everything, and I realized I had a calculator app, like a third party calculator app, installed on my iPad.
Oh, okay.
I deleted yeah. it because I never use it. I always just use Spotlight. Spotlight can handle just about any math you throw at it.
Oh, you just type in the numbers there?
Yeah. Yeah. It works fine for me. And since I always have my smart keyboard out, it's just the numbers on the top key. Just swipe down 2000 times, you know,
oh,
42.
You're right. It does work.
And
I just
then
tried
that's
it.
8400 or whatever. And if you click enter,
yeah, that's pretty quick. It's
that
pretty quick.
Does take you to a web page, which is kind of stupid. So it actually uses Google to do the math. So if
you
hit return
call
on that,
Apple sheep.
Ooh, I know. It is kind of frustrating.
The Google calculator.
But I don't know. I've never thought that I needed an actual calculator app, because if you think about it, calculator on the iPhone, you have to swipe down to get to control center, find the calculator icon, click on that, and then type in your number. Here you just hit command space on your smart keyboard and you start typing numbers, and I find that's a little more convenient.
Yeah, that does that probably be faster even if there was a calculator app.
But one thing I am excited about seeing is calculator on my mm-hmm. Apple Watch. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
That's gonna
it's
be
very
awesome.
Nice actually, plus having the built-in tip calculator. I'm
that
glad they finally
nice.
Did that.
Yeah, because I can't
I haven't
multiply
needed
it by
yet,
10%. Yeah.
The real question is, will tvOS get a calculator before the iPad?
Probably, honestly.
Maybe. point,
yeah.
iPod OS will get calculator.
Oh my gosh, the iPod Nano will get refreshed and have a calculator.
There's a market for it. There's yes, a market there for is. It. Speaking of, there's a market for it. After iPad OS, they announced the hardware
Ooh.
At Worldwide Developers
the
Conference.
Apple Card.
And yeah, there wasn't, sadly.
I know.
I was actually pretty upset about that.
You did.
I know you didn't care.
No, I didn't.
I was disappointed when he was like, Apple Card coming this summer. And I checked the weather app, and it's 100 degrees outside. And I'm like, what, are we still in the spring, Tim? I think it's summer now. It's time to release.
Oh, my gosh.
So we could have at least gotten a date, you know?
Yeah.
We could have
well,
at least gotten
know.
A coming this day.
It's probably going to be like an air power thing. They just announced it, and it's never going to come out.
Oh, don't say that. Come on. It's not like they're trying to stuff 30 coils in a charge mat. They're just trying to make a piece of platinum.
It's not
titanium.
Titanium. Come on. Don't degrade the value of my platinum card any further, please.
No, I can't do that.
Yeah, so the Mac Pro, though. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
What did you think? Tell me your thoughts on the Mac Pro.
So, the reveal video, the entire reveal video, I was like, okay, what's the design? Like, I knew it was the iMac
yeah.
Pro. Like, as soon as they're like, you know, whatever. Like, it's the iMac Pro. I had no questions that it was the iMac Pro. With like all the circles
right.
And
well,
stuff.
The way he phrased it leading up to it,
yeah,
it was inevitable. He
exactly.
was like, "Now there's one piece of the Mac line."
Yes, yes, yes. That's it. Anyway, I like knew in my head that it's the Mac Pro, but I was trying to figure out how the design was like during the reveal with like you know the lighting and
sure.
what they do with that.
Sure.
And I was like, it looks like it is the Mac Mini stackable thing. Woo! I was all
yeah.
excited, and then like mm-hmm. the. It like came out of the stage or whatever, and they did like the, and I was like, oh, ouch!
It's a big cheese grater again.
I actually like the design. I know everyone, literally everyone yep. on the internet has been hating on it, but I actually love it. I think it. So you know me and faces, right? The next gen iPhones are gonna have faces.
Yeah. You
all
faces,
of those,
that's right.
all of those little holes look like the little alien Memoji.
They do. I saw your tweet you made about that, and now I can't unsee it. There's just a bunch of little aliens on the side of the Mac Pro.
It's an alien yeah. computer. It's a gaming computer, Drew.
No, I was, I mean, how do you say, like, I was shocked by how standard it was.
Yeah.
Apple's usually the company to do some kind of weird design approach and do something
mm-hmm.
different and unique, like they did with the trash can Mac Pro. And this was so, or that's why I was so much believing those stackable rumors, you know, the ones that stack up tall
mm-hmm.
and different modules that you would upgrade with their own proprietary connections. And I was getting those rumors and I was like, oh, that sounds totally believable. You know, that Apple has to do something different. Apple has to do something unique. They can't just play it by the books and make a standard PC. But
mm-hmm.
that's what they did. They played it by the books. They made a standard PC, which actually a good number of creators who buy the Mac Pro seem to be pretty accepting of it online, which
yeah.
I found funny given I was the Apple sheep and I was not a fan. more so of the Pro display, but in regards to just the Mac Pro, I think the starting price was absurd. I think as a product, it's good for its market, but to me, it made no sense why it started. The storage was 256 gig, and it was a 580X
mm-hmm.
GPU, and
yeah.
it still started at $6,000. I was just like, what?
the prices, though. We'll talk about that
yeah.
in a second. What did you think
okay.
about that Afterburner thing? I don't really understand how that works, but it sounds like magic.
Yeah, it's good. Basically, just giving the computer a little bit extra boost for those Final Cut users who want it. It's good and everything. I don't really have much of an issue with that. I guess I wasn't expecting Apple to make a move like this.
Yeah.
It's very non-Apple to be like, let's just not worry about how it looks and just focus on making it practical and upgradable and customizable. It's like, Tim, are you okay? Like, what's up? Are you guys done?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the situation? but yeah, I've been arguing with a lot of different people over it about its place in the lineup and how I think it just kind of confuses everything, especially with the iMac Pro being cheaper and having a better specification almost entirely. So, it was an interesting move. I can confidently say that wasn't what I was expecting, but yeah. I will not be making that purchase this year.
You don't want to buy a $20,000, $50,000 computer? Come on. Yeah.
No.
So.
I guess this is Apple's entry into the car lineup because it does have
it does have wheels. It's about the same price as
the
Model 3.
Model 3.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
So that's why I laugh when we were arguing in the Discord yesterday about this Apple car, because there's been some rumors growing and they were like, no, there's no way they would start the Apple car any more than $80,000. And I was like, are you kidding me? They just released a stand for a grand. They would absolutely start a car at $150,000. No problem.
Yeah. It's so yeah, so let's move. I think the iMac Pro is great. Or not the iMac Pro, the Mac Pro is great. But they brought up this display, and like half of the product reveal was the display, and like it was sitting there the entire time, and they were using it, but they hadn't talked about it yet. And I was sitting there like, what is this thing? Please tell me more. It was crazy. What did you think about it?
I was confused by it heavily because
let's not talk about the price right
monitor.
Now. Let's not talk about it. We'll get the price at the end. Go ahead.
Yeah. Ignoring the price, I was confused because we've been hearing about this monitor for 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
They said they were going back into the monitor business back in 2017, and that got me really excited because I was anticipating the revival, essentially, of the Cinema Display, Thunderbolt Display line into 2019. And this would be kind of Apple's approach of, here's what the future of our displays are going to look like. Here's what the future of like iMac design is going to look like. And that's not what they did. Instead, they decided to cater to ultra high-end professionals and they compared it to a monitor that no one's heard of.
I know.
And
$43,000.
No one knew about these. Yeah, you notice Marquez, Austin Evans, John Morrison, Linus Tech Tips. They're all using those $40,000 Sony monitors, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they edit all their videos on. Yep. Well, now Apple has this new, thinner, more sleek option that's way cheaper than all those 40 grand monitors. But yeah, I know we're trying to not talk about the price yet. As a monitor, I don't understand why they suddenly have this fascination with this market. I personally think that Apple's 5K monitors are already overkill simply by their pixel density being over the top. And really, I think the only complaint people have had over the years is, we like the 5K monitors, but we don't want to buy an entire iMac to use them, you know? We just want Apple's 5K panel, but without buying a whole iMac along with it. We just want it as an external display. Ever since the first 5K iMac came out, that's what a lot of people have been asking for.
Mm-hmm.
And they did the LG UltraFine stuff, but it's just, they're not very slick looking. They're very boxy. They're very Dell Optiplex looking monitors. You know, like the displays themselves are good, but the rest of them is not a very clean, not a very Apple-esque, you know, design. And that's what I love so much about the Cinema Display that I'm using right now.
Which
I have on my desk, because it's 9 years old and it still looks great, and it still actually fits the design scheme of my 2-year-old iMac Pro. It's got the same size bezels, the same rounded edges, and it's 1440p, which is still plenty good for 2019.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of hoping they were going to go back to that. I was anticipating like they did in the old days, built-in speakers. They even had a built-in GPU to help kind of with performance of the MacBooks. You could dock with them so that you could have a portable, powerful laptop on the go, but then when you came home, you would have a full-fledged desktop setup. It'd give you some more ports that you plug into, give you some more power with the GPU. You had a webcam and speakers that were actually pretty decent sounding. The speakers on my Cinema Display don't sound that bad. So I was hoping they were just going to essentially make an iMac Pro with thinner bezels, no chin, and no computer. It was just going to be a monitor part, but it would still be 5K, still have the good 1080p webcam, good speakers, maybe a little eGPU in there for, you know, MacBook owners who want to dock with this, a few extra ports on the back. I thought that would have been great. and I would have easily priced it over $2,000, probably below $3,000, and I still think a lot of people would have found that worth it. And all the YouTubers who are talking about the Pro Display XDR now would have bought that thing anyway.
True.
Just because it would have been a cool display. But instead, they decided to cater to the ultra color accurate market, which is not very big.
Nope.
I don't think there's a ton of people who are like, man, I edit all my videos on my iMac Pro, but the colors just look awful. The color correction on this 5K monitor, on this 5K panel, is just the worst. And it's such a common complaint I get on all my iPhone and Android phone reviews, is that, hey, man, your footage looks great, but that color accuracy is just the worst. And luckily, Apple saw these complaints and decided to act on it with their highly color accurate monitor with 6K resolution. Which equates to about a dollar a pixel side to side.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Oh, my gosh.
So,
oh, wow.
Those are my thoughts on the display before the price. Now, what are your thoughts on the display before the price?
Okay. I love the display. I would get six of them
and
put them around my desk and use them all at the same time.
You like the look of it?
It's so beautiful, Drew. Oh, my goodness. Okay. It is the most beautiful display. I'm a tall guy. And I hate it that all of the monitors are always so low. Mm-hmm. And this looks like it's very tall and it's high up there. And I am really excited about that because I might actually
like the screen to body ratio.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's a huge display and it looks beautiful. I would have wished that they would have thrown a GPU inside of it because they have all those fans and stuff. But oh well, I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, no, the fans are just for the display running so hot.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the only way to cool it down.
It's crazy. But yeah, so I'm very excited to announce that I'll be buying six of these to plug into my iPad Pro.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no.
That's a mere...
Yeah, no, $36,000? Yeah.
$36,000.
That's not including the other parts. So... Right. Let's start talking about the price now. I think that they didn't announce the price well. They botched it. Out of all the things that they did well in the keynote, that's the one thing that they really failed at.
I agree. I think they botched it with what the price is and also...
No, just how they announced
how
it.
How they're configuring it. Like the stand, which is optional.
The gasp in the crowd. It was
the laughter.
It was
genuine laughter in the audience.
So they're like, okay, and the display itself will cost $4,099. And everyone's like, oh, wow, that's expensive. It's like twice as much as I thought. And he's like, and the optional nano whatever anti-glare coating is going to be $599.99. And it's like, oh, wow, oh, my gosh. And then he was and the vase amount is $200.
$200.
And then he was like, oh, my gosh. And then he was like, and the mount will be $999. And everyone's like,
what the hell? It's a piece of metal.
Exactly.
What is so fancy? I don't understand.
So this is how they should
have
announced
it. Honestly, I don't get it.
Honestly, they should have announced it like this. Instead of saying the monitor itself is $4,999, they should have said the display is $5,999. You can get it in two configurations with matte option, which is going to be $5,999, or you can get it without the mount for $4,999. Exact same prices, but I think there would only have been one big gasp. There wouldn't have been eight of them.
You're just talking from a marketing point of view.
Exactly.
Don't actually change any of the
prices. No, I think the prices are fine. No one's going to buy this thing anyway. Apple might as well do the Apple Watch Edition thing about it.
I mean, as many people have brought up, because anytime I criticize this thing, I hear the same thing. We're probably getting people tagging us on Twitter with, you're not the market. This isn't meant for you. This isn't meant for you. You're not the market. You're not the market. I know I'm not the market. That's not what I'm complaining about. I'm complaining that they catered to this market.
Mm.
I know I'm not in this market, but that's my issue with it, is they kind of ignored the market they were once a part of, and that I think the most amount of people, the largest common denominator, or is now, because Apple's catering to movie studios, we have to say the term prosumer. You know, it's like, we want professional hardware, but obviously just an everyday consumer, they're not using a desktop anymore. So obviously, when we say pro, we're assuming just people who edit videos with desktops.
Or have 1,000 tracks in Logic.
Yeah. You know, like, I like how they advertise that it swivels to portrait mode so you can do coding with it.
That is actually like, kind of nice. Yes. I would do that. Like, if I had six of them, I would have probably like three of them vertical.
$6,000 monitor. I'm going to use it to look at text on
hey,
the screen.
Microsoft Excel spreadsheets get really long, okay?
And I need them to be color accurate.
And I need it to be in 6K.
1600 nits.
Exactly.
I just want you to know this. I'm saying this for the record. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there are cheaper monitors that can swivel to portrait mode.
What? What?
$6,000 monitor is not required just to get a 32-inch screen sideways. I hope everyone understands that. That's not a new feature. I also found it hilarious that after the event, there was like a giant table dedicated to just the stand.
Yes.
With nothing on
it. That's so many memes. So many memes.
There were people just looking at it. I think there was an AR thing.
There was. Where, I think that was really cool. Like, just like at Apple Park, you can use the iPads to kind of look around. I thought that was really interesting how they just had like the stainless steel body of the iMac, the Mac Pro, and then just the stand.
Right. And using AR, but they take it apart.
But this just shows how stupid AR looks in the real world. There were pictures of journalists on the other side of the table, and it looked like a bunch of people were crowded around with pictures, like taking pictures of the stand. It was like,
right. No, yeah, the AR part's cool. I think that's actually cooler than the computer itself, is the fact that if you go to the Mac Pro section of the website, you can just paste it in the real world and see how it looks in a real world environment. And a lot of people were doing that. I also kind of thought that was more interesting than the computer itself. I was like, okay, you made a $30,000 computer. Guess what? It's fast. Impressive. but now I can paste it on my desk and see exactly how big it is. And they're incredibly detailed. If you get close to them, you can see like the paint of the aluminum on the side of it. It's like incredibly detailed. So I did that a few times in different places just to get an idea of how big the thing is. It's almost identical in size to the last cheese grater, which surprised me.
Well, I think it was a good size. They for sure didn't want to get themselves in any thermal corners. That's quite obvious with their fans.
No.
It's like an air conditioning unit. It's, what was it? Like,
it is, really.
1.3 kilowatts or something? I was like, dang, that's like Tesla charging amounts of power. Like, what on earth are you doing
with
this?
The Mac Pro requires a ME1540 outlet to turn on. You need, like, a dryer outlet. Well, I think, like, it's the cheese grater Mac Pro perfected because now instead of just having a one-sided door, you have a 360 access to everything because the whole lid comes off and the handles look way more comfortable. Anytime I saw the handles of that last cheese grater, I was like, that looks really uncomfortable to try to pick up.
Yeah, but this one has wheels now, so you don't even have to pick it up. You can drive it around your office.
Talk about how much they are.
The Mac
wheels aren't included.
Oh, they aren't? How much are they?
No, they're optional. That you have to pay extra, and we don't know how much they are. So I'm guessing $1,000.
Oh, at least if they're selling the sand for $1,000, that those are going to be $1,000 each.
They look cool.
Do you want one wheel? That'll be $1,000.
They're very shiny looking wheels,
and they don't have hubs in them, right? They're like you could put your finger through it, right? I've only seen a few pictures, and I don't remember.
I think they do have hubs on them.
Okay.
I need to see a picture of it again.
Correct
I'm looking
me.
On their site
Correct
right now.
Me on the internet, please.
I love the icon on Apple's website for the Mac Pro. It is just a actual cheese grater. Like, they full-on embraced it. No question.
I don't understand, like, Jern and all them, like, hate the cheese grater thing. I'm like, I actually like this. What are you guys talking about?
Well, it's functional.
Very
functional. I
mean,
I get that it looks like a cheese grater, and that's funny, but
I don't understand why it looks funny.
I'm not saying
this.
Like, there's no better
plenty
design,
of things.
You know.
Plenty of things in the real world look like other things. You know, like, I don't know.
Things look like other things, Nick.
Exactly.
No, I guess it's
Oh,
it's just funny.
I just opened Apple's website. I am so sorry. We didn't talk about this. They did an Apple TV Plus like a preview thing. It was For All Mankind.
Oh, you wanted
the space
to talk
one.
About that?
Oh, I'm so sorry. I totally meant it because I rewatched the whole thing last night to get ready for this. It's like, oh, I want to talk about that.
Did that look interesting to you?
That is so interesting. I will pay for Apple TV Plus to watch that.
I will try the free trial for Apple TV Plus.
That looks so cool. So cool. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. It might be good.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. I just saw that on the website. I was like, I can't forget to talk about that. So sorry. Yeah, back to the cheese grater.
No, it's all right. I'm annoyed by the fact that we've had two events now about Apple TV Plus and they still don't know how much it is. That's bugging me.
Yeah.
I'm like,
but...
come on. You should have this figured out by now if you're producing all these shows.
Yeah.
I hope the show is not in that weird aspect ratio they played it in. Like,
I know.
By one.
Who?
That was way too wide.
Ew. Yeah. All the WWDC things. Like, the last year's intro thing and this year's intro videos were all shot in that aspect ratio. And it's so weird, like, watching it on an iPad, it's like 2 inches of content across the entire...
Way too wide.
It's like, ew.
Oh, I think you might be right, Nick, about the wheels. I'm looking at it right now. I think you can stick your finger through it. Not that you want to, but they're hollow.
It's beautiful. It's
they
probably
definitely
the most,
look fancy, though.
It's the most beautiful computer, for sure. I love it. I just can't afford it. And I will go out on a limb and say you can't afford it either. So
I will counter by saying I could buy this, but we're not going to because it is stupid.
Well, no, yeah. I mean, sure, I could buy this too. Yeah, I could go buy a Tesla right now. That's smart though.
I'm in the same boat. If it's a matter of just it's in the bank account, yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course.
It's not a matter of. Boy, I would love a Mac Pro. I just can't afford one. To me, it's no, I don't think I need one.
Exactly,
it's more
right?
about the that money could go towards something else with four wheels that I will appreciate more.
Well, hey, you know, when Apple does their self-driving car, they already have a very powerful computer that uses Tesla-level charging, and it has wheels. Yeah. And it has air conditioning, too. It's practically an air conditioner. So
it does, yeah.
Come on, guys.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm confused by their angle with it because I thought the whole purpose, the whole reason people, and that's what's so funny about this, is a lot of people were mad at me for being angry about the Mac Pro. They were like, well, this is upgradable, it's customized, like it's not a market for you. And I'm like, I know, that's what's weird about it. It's such a higher end market. I thought the purpose of the upgradability, of the modularity, of the swap out things yourself, the whole purpose of that was to make a computer cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought the whole angle was. Like, iMac Pro is $5,000, but you're getting all this good hardware and a decent purchase. Okay, I get it. So when you make a modular, upgradable thing, you're able to customize it to be exactly what you need, not this all-in-one package. So that's how you can excuse, you know, starting it at $3,500 and $4,000 so that you can have the extra money to spend on the parts you want instead of having to have that 5K included display or having to have that Radeon GPU that they include with the baseline iMac Pro and including those speakers. It's like, no, I have a monitor, I have the speakers, I have a webcam, I just need the computer part so we can save money. This disregards all that and says, all right, now it's upgradable, it's customizable, but it starts at $6,000 and the components are not even on par with a $1,000 cheaper all-in-one. Now I'm just like, well, what's the angle then?
Yeah.
Apple now has an option for people who want to upgrade and customize, but they're going to make you pay for the roof for it. So at that point, why not get an all-in-one?
It's going
to
be so expensive.
I think the best counter argument I found was a guy on Twitter, I forget his name, but he told me basically that the iMac Pro is an incredible value at the baseline, you know, the $5,000 starting model. If you were to try to build a comparable PC with all of those components, it would actually cost more, if not the same, and that's without the all-in-one design, that's without the simplicity of setup and only
Mac OS
power cable and the warranty and all that. But where the iMac Pro has a higher profit margin is the upgraded configurations. You know?
Yes.
So
yes,
like
yes, yes.
the 18 core version, the 256 gigs of RAM option, those ones they make a lot more money on because they're a lot more expensive and they know you're willing to pay for the extra power. So that's where a lot of the profit margin is. Now, the defense I found on Twitter was a guy suggesting that the Mac Pro is the reverse opposite, as in the base model is a huge profit margin and it costs a lot. And it's not a great deal to buy the baseline Mac Pro. But if you buy the higher end configurations, you know, you buy the 1.5 terabyte or the absurd GPU specs,
Fortnite and
28 core Intel. Yeah, Fortnite, which he retweeted. That was fun this morning.
That was.
I was hoping he would see it. He doesn't follow me, but he'll like my tweets and retweet them here and there.
Yeah.
But so essentially, the ones that are absurdly expensive are actually great value for what you get out of them. Maybe that's their angle. But still, I think it's stupid to have. Don't you feel like it's kind of counterintuitive to have the cheap model be the high profit margin one?
Like, it depends on the market they're targeting. Tesla,
right?
I'm going to equate everything back to Tesla, but the Model S back in the day when they were still trying to get money, the base model Model S had a much higher profit margin than like the higher level performance ones because they were hurting for cash, and they knew that the market that was going to buy the Model S, they were going to be the people who, you know, they weren't looking for the $35,000 car or the $3,000 car. They were looking for the $100,000 car anyway. So they might as well charge the base model at $100,000, even though it only costs $50,000 to make, and then, you know, be able to use that money to invest in the future of the company. And that's kind of what Apple did, it looks like. And the Mac Pro is very, very underwhelming at the base level, for sure, just specs. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I would wager someone could definitely build a gaming PC with all those base level specs for at least $599, right? Like, come on. Like,
much less.
Exactly.
What YouTubers are discovering is that they're basically charging $2,000 to $3,000 somewhere in there just for the fact that it's an Apple Pro case.
Yeah. And
the specs themselves are not that good.
And Apple knows the market. Like, obviously, they're...
Yes.
They think that they're going to do well with this. And, you know, even if they only sell, you know, 3,000 of these base level Mac Pros, well, that's sure a lot of money.
Yeah.
Even a good profit margin.
Yeah, it's a low quantity, high profit margin market. And I think they're upcharging for the sake that they know their audience there. They know that the people who want this are going to pay whatever for it.
Yeah.
And I taking advantage of that, which I can't, I mean, they've done it in the past with the gold Apple Watch and things like that, that kind of price module of like, we don't need to sell a lot of these. But it's just kind of weird to see them do that alongside the iMac Pro, which was such a deal, which was such a steal. And I thought, given, you know, the Mac line is not Apple's bread and butter anymore. It's a very small percentage of their revenue. That's why I thought they did what they did with the iMac Pros, because they were like, we don't need a high profit margin on the Mac line. Basically, as long as we're breaking even, we're fine, because all of our money comes from iPhones and iPads and services and wearables.
Yeah.
But now that they're going back kind of to the high profit on the Mac line, I'm like, well, what are you doing? What's the angle? I don't know.
I kind of feel like the Mac Pro might be trying to push people more towards the iMac Pro. Because if you're a professional and you're like, okay, I have, you know, $7,000 for a workstation, you're a decent, you know, a million, 2 million subscriber YouTube channel, and you're looking for a new editing, right?
Sure.
And you're like, okay, I have about $7,000 that I can put into a good computer. I you know, gut instinct is, oh, just the tower's going to be cheaper because I already have a monitor and, you know, I'd whatever.
You don't need to pay for all that extra stuff. Right.
Exactly. And then you look at the prices and what you're getting, you're like, oh, boy. And then you look at the iMac Pro, which arguably is much better than the base model. You know, the base model iMac Pro is way better than the base model Mac Pro as far as bang for your buck. Like, you get a monitor with the base-level iMac Pro. And that's kind of pushing people towards less of a professional device and more of a consumer device. If you think of the grand theory of Apple, they're always trying to move people from the desktop to the laptop, from the laptop to the iPad, from the iPad to the phone, from the phone to the Apple Watch, the Apple Watch to the AirPods. you know, from AirPods to the glasses. They're always pushing to make things simpler. And if they can push people, instead of buying a big clunky customizable tower, that sure you can change the modules out and stuff. And they, if they are able to push you towards an iMac Pro, which is more in line with their kind of vision for the future, that's going to, you know, pay dividends for them, you know, 10 years down the road when all these professionals are already used to just using all-in-ones. So, anyway.
True.
So,
yeah,
box over.
Good, that's a good point. That's a good viewpoint. I think it's definitely pushing people towards the iMac Pro because
it's pushing me towards the MacBook Air.
Yeah. If you remember when the iMac Pro came out, everyone was like, holy crap, that's expensive. Like, this is $5,000 starting. And they were like, dang, that's pricey, but the specs in it are pretty good. So it's not like there's a huge profit margin here. Like, it's worth it. And now that the Mac Pro's come out and its profit margin's kind of high, people are looking at the iMac Pro and going, wow, that's a good deal.
Exactly, exactly.
For a $5,000 computer to say it's a good deal now. It's kind of funny. But, yeah, just playing around with the iMac Pro checkout now. Like, I looked at what configurations you can get for the same price of the base model Mac Pro. You can upgrade your storage and your RAM and still be at the same price as the baseline Mac Pro.
Yeah.
So the one I just configured has 64 gigs of RAM and 2 terabytes of SSD for $599.99. And if you take that price point to the Mac Pro, you're still working with a worse GPU, half the RAM, and an eighth the storage.
Exactly.
And that's no monitor, no speakers, no webcam. But hey, you get that exclusive keyboard and mouse. Did you see that?
No. What is it?
There's an exclusive keyboard, Magic Keyboard and mouse with the Mac Pro that
you interesting.
Can't get anywhere else currently, but they might.
Well, that's
it.
What they said about the iMac Pro, and I may or may not have
it's
bought
true.
A very expensive trackpad, and now I could pick one up for half the price I paid for it, but oh well.
That's right. Well, now the new exclusive is silver aluminum with black keys.
Oh, I have tweezers. We could arrange this.
We could just swap them out, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they also have a Magic Mouse with the black top but the silver aluminum, and then a Magic trackpad with the silver aluminum and the black glass on top, and you can only get that with the Mac Pro. So if you're gonna get one, make sure to get the trackpad with it, because you might be able to sell that before they
sell the trackpad and keyboard for $6,000 on eBay,
right?
Cover the cost of the Mac Pro.
Yeah I think That was, I guess, my kind of overall complaint with the Mac Pro. Is not that it's a bad product. It's more just that it's not really worth it unless your budget is over $10,000.
Exactly.
If you're looking to buy a computer and you're wanting to spend over $10,000, then, yeah, maybe the Mac Pro will be worth it. But if you're under $10,000, no, I don't see the point.
What's a computer?
It'll just be a better deal. Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Nick.
So, moving away from this
and the Pro
Mac
display.
Pro. Oh, sorry.
The Pro display annoys me.
Yeah.
Mostly, just because.
Oh, I want one, but it annoys me.
I feel
me.
Like. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's a good monitor. I'm not saying it's a crappy product. I'm just saying. And I'm also not saying that, because everyone, anytime I complain, will go off and say, it's not for you. It's not your market. I know it's not my market. I'm just saying. It's towards a market that didn't need much attention.
Yeah.
I don't think the people who were in need of more color accurate displays were like, man, I wish Apple would make one of these. I think they have the tools they need and they're fine using them because they have giant corporate businesses paying for them anyway. So they're not complaining that the Sony $40,000 display is $40,000 because they're already using it and the company pays for it.
Exactly.
So the Pro Display XDR has made corporate enterprise save money, I guess. Great.
Well, if you think about it, they're never was a good business, a good manager of any business. Like if you're a production manager or whatever, and you have a budget to buy one of these $43,000 monitors every year, but now the Apple monitor is $6,000. Well, you're not just going to spend $6,000 on one of them. You're now going to spend $46,000 worth of Apple monitors and get, in your entire studio, having just one of these monitors that's real accurate. All of your workstations can now have this quality monitor. Which is nice, I guess, but it just kind of sucks to be, you know, one of the YouTubers or whatever who, like, it doesn't make sense for.
Right. I feel like there was a blatant hole in the Mac accessory line.
Yes.
There was, like, a blatant giant hole of what used to be there with the Cinema and the Thunderbolt display, and they stopped doing it. They kind of patched it with the LG, but it was kind of a half-baked job.
Yep.
It was like, eh, there, we fixed it, I guess. And also that LG job. Monitor came out in 2016. You know,
yeah.
It came out year the iPhone 7 came out. Look at iPhone 7 and compare it to what iPhones come out today. There's been a lot of changes in display technology since then, and I would have liked to seen that Mac accessory, which everyone is admitting that there's a big hole in the lineup there. I would have liked to see that addressed instead of, well, let's make a better user experience for multi-billion dollar movie studios.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, I guess they'll be happy, but that's that's not where I think a lot of people were asking for expertise. You know, like I talked about earlier, there's not a ton of people who were upset with the color accuracy of their 5K displays, or no one was looking at their 5K displays thinking, these are too pixelated. If only we had a 6K monitor,
mm-hmm.
that would fix all these problems. So I just feel like there wasn't a huge amount of demand for this, and there was a huge amount of demand for something else that they decided to not do. Imagine if they would have done a Thunderbolt 3 display with a Face ID sensor at the top.
And if
you bought that monitor, you could then unlock your Mac with Face ID. Like, that would have been so cool. I feel like people would have paid a lot for that. And this monitor doesn't have a single camera, single speaker, or anything on it. It's definitely
but the bezels are so thin.
Demographic that will... Yeah. It's meant for a certain demographic that will be happy, and I understand that, but that's not what, in my opinion, they should have focused on.
So yeah.
I think that wraps up that topic.
Okay, so the next thing they talked about was Catalina.
Catalina's pretty good.
Yeah, there are like three things that I'd like to bring up. One, the island of Catalina, the way they shot it, looks a lot like the island of Act 2 from Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
It's exactly what I thought when I saw it.
It's beautiful. Don't get
Luke
me wrong.
Skywalker there?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm just like, where's Rey? Is she training on the cliff?
Yeah, she could be training. That'd be a cool dynamic wallpaper.
Yes. See the blue lightsaber waving around like, oh.
It would actually be cool
to have
this wallpaper because I didn't put Catalina on my iMac Pro because I put Mojave on my iMac Pro last year, and it gave us a lot of issues when it was in beta.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't wait till the full release to switch over because, yeah, it was giving us problems exporting videos. So I did put it on my MacBook Pro so that I could still test out the features. There's no personal files on the MacBook Pro. That thing could be bricked, and I wouldn't really notice. But messing around with it was really, really cool. I like how they broke apart iTunes. Sidecar has to be my favorite feature.
Yes, absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yep, Sidecar was...
And...
Yeah, can we talk about Sidecar for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
What kind of magic do they make Sidecar out of? I don't understand this.
I think it's kind of based off of the same tech AirDrop uses.
I guess, but...
In a rough way. I know AirDrop is very different from display editions, but...
But the pure range that it has. So the first time I tried it out, I was in the hotel lobby. Yeah. I was on the East Coast, and I had my Mac out, and I hooked it up with my iPad. I'm like, I want to see how far this goes. So like, I took three or four steps away from my computer, and I moved the Apple Pencil, and it was like completely fluid. There was zero lag between the Apple Pencil and the cursor moving. It was like perfect. I'm like, okay, cool. And I took like 20 more steps and 30 more steps. I went probably about... not quite 500 feet, about 500 feet, like around the corner in the next building. I couldn't see my Mac. I was very far away from it, and Sidecar was still working. They were both paired to the same Wi-Fi network, but it was still working. Wow. It was kind of laggy, a little jumpy, but it was still like working. I could totally use it. I was just like, what is this even made out of? I don't understand this. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it worked pretty well for me, too.
Yeah, and it's so quick and snappy.
Having that iPad right next to the MacBook with no wires or anything, it was, like, impressive. I was like, this is just so simple. This is just another... The ecosystem chain has been made even more secure this year, you know?
Exactly.
It's been solidified now even further than before with all the continuity between macOS and iPad. It's just going to be so difficult to replicate that if you try to leave the ecosystem now.
No, yeah, I can't. So,
Same with the AirPods sharing. We forgot to talk about
that. Oh, yeah. I don't really understand how that works. I think we'll have to hold a judgment on that until
Android
works,
Bluetooth
right?
in the past, but I'm glad they're bringing it over the air because there's been tons of situations with me and my wife where we'd want to have two pairs of AirPods.
Wait, two pairs of AirPods?
Yeah.
You must speak broke. Only two? I have like 10 of them.
Yeah. No, I've got 10 in storage. I just
look
at them.
Yeah, there you go.
They're
you
precious. I have little numbers on them with engraving. 1, 2, 3. So I can tell them apart.
Oh, gosh. That's funny.
Rent them out to people.
$10 a day. No.
Yeah.
Yep. I think.
Yeah, Catalina was.
Catalina was fine. Huge, yeah, it's good. Just. I think Sidecar was the biggest thing. I don't.
Definitely.
Dark mode was already there, so, like, it wasn't, like, anything we were waiting on.
True.
But
they removed the dashboard. Do you
remember
that?
Yeah, I never used that anyway, back with Steve Jobs. Yeah.
I never did either, but it was just funny that this year they were like, oh, yeah, well, let's just get rid of that.
Yep. Well, that
finally decided.
My favorite part of the whole Catalina keynote was when Craig was talking about how they were deciding to break up iTunes. And I was just like, oh, this, that he did the classic Craig joke. And it's like, oh, we're going to add mail and your calendar and Safari and the dock, all of iTunes.
And yeah, that was good.
And then he's like that I bit. Think the team really nailed it. And it was the same, like, no animation, like the, I'm like, someone out there, please make that into a GIF and send it to me. I've already tried to use this like 80 times, but it's still not out there on the internet. Please make a GIF out of that and DM it to me or something. Like,
I also love
beautiful.
The way he said, yeah, I love the way he said, now when you plug in your iPhone to your Mac, you see this.
Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah.
The whole audience is like, is like, the slide broken?
Nothing. I thought that was an accident. I was like,
exactly.
Nothing.
Nothing.
It just shows up in Finder. And I was like, oh, that makes so much sense.
That's perfect.
We are all idiots. That's what everyone kept asking. If they break apart iTunes, how will I sync my thing? Just put it in Finder. Oh, that's true. Okay.
Makes too much sense.
Problem solved.
Yeah.
But now they need to update iOS 13 splash screen to say connect to Finder, you know.
Yeah.
And they also didn't say if they were bringing all these apps to Windows. So as far as
we know,
they aren't.
We'll have to see.
iTunes might stay alive over there. We'll see.
Please no. So what? There's Sidecar, and then they broke up iTunes. And the other interesting feature is they have this. It used to be called Marzipan. What do they call it now?
Catalyst.
Catalyst. Yeah. And this is really interesting. Actually, Ethan has already gotten the Talosive app up and running on the Mac. With just
I saw
a few
that.
Lines
that cool.
of code. It's very impressive how this technology works. Basically, letting iPad apps run on the Mac. So
I'm
excited to see,
excited for that.
You know, like Asphalt 8 or like some like actual cool apps come to the Mac. I think that'll really help revitalize
Twitter.
The
YouTube.
<Yeah. laughs> You're like, and the Twitter team
I would use,
is now
seriously.
Excited. I'm like, yay, bring it back. Hurry up.
I would totally use tons of iPad apps on my Mac
exactly.
if I ported them over. I would totally do that.
We need Sidecar, but in reverse.
You can use iOS secondary display on
yes.
your Mac. Yeah, why not? I guess you could just plug it in with QuickTime.
There, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Never mind.
You can mirror the display, but that's not the same thing, I guess.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that was the keynote.
I like that Catalyst is happening though.
Yeah. Me too. So that was like everything they did in the keynote, right? Was there anything else from the keynote before we start talking about the betas?
Minecraft AR.
Oh no!
I think that's
the
main stuff. I think we covered it. We don't talk about mouse support because I don't like mouse support. It's just weird.
No,
it's good as an accessibility feature, but a ton of people keep seeing it, thinking it's like a new way to interact with the iPad. I'm like, nah, it's not. It's there for people who can't use the touchscreen. That's it. It's not meant to be used that way.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
Yep. So then the keynote ended, and everyone was scrambling to find the betas.
Because they have changed the beta process.
It is
totally different now.
It is interesting. So we're developers. We have the developer account that we're doing the app through. So, you know, you out of anyone should have been able to get the beta right off the bat, right?
Yes.
It was.
And I had no idea how to get the bait.
Oh, my gosh. It was so confusing. So confusing.
They went back to the old way of doing it, which is they're not doing profiles anymore. Which
yeah, over
means
the
that
air.
You could basically get the beta from your phone all by itself. Now you need to download a beta version of Xcode, which you can only get from a developer account site, mm-hmm. and then plug it in via iTunes, restore it with a new, what's the name of the file again? IPSW file, which you have to download from the developer site again, mm-hmm. which you can only access if you have that developer account. And it takes, even with me, like, I have pretty good internet. It still mm-hmm. took me like a good 45 minutes to get it installed.
Yep.
Just because opening Xcode and installing it and downloading the files, which are big files,
mm-hmm.
it takes a good long while. I knew it was giving you a hard time.
Yeah. So I think you had the hardware there to support the beta. I, on the other hand,
yeah.
I was traveling, and so I had my iPad, my iPhone, and my Apple Watch, and I was expecting just to do this all over the air because, you know, I do have a Mac Mini, an old 2010 Mac Mini, but I didn't have that with me, obviously. So Monday comes out, and, you know, I'm trying to figure out how to get the betas on. I'm like, where's the profiles? Like, here's the Apple Watch profile. Mm-hmm. What's going on with the IPSW. Oh, I don't have a Mac. Lovely.
Yeah. This is a problem.
Yeah. So that night, Monday night, I tried the hotel I was staying at. They had like a Mac in the business center or whatever. It's like, I can use the iMac downstairs. And so I was like kind of excited. And so I sat down at the Mac, and they had it in guest mode, which is like basically Safari. I'm like, okay, well, that's not going to work. Oh, well.
Right.
So I was trying to figure out how I can get this installed because, you know, I need a Mac because my Mac Mini that I have, you need Xcode 11 beta to install iOS 13.
Correct.
And yes. The 11, the Xcode 11 beta only runs on Mojave and Catalina.
Mm.
And my 2010 Mac Mini tops out at High Sierra. So I was like,
gotcha.
There's no way I could get this at all.
Yeah. Right.
So I ended up buying a MacBook Air. this is the strategy that Apple has now. They can no longer they're changing up the way we get betas so that they can boost Mac sales. That's the only reason why.
It worked.
It sure did.
I saw a little bloop on the map there.
Exactly, yeah. And so I was like, dang it, I really don't want to do this, but oh well. Because like, I am perfectly content on my iPad. I don't feel like I need a Mac.
Oh, I know.
And you
make that well known.
And you and Randy both seem to think I do. So I got this I got this little, 13-inch MacBook Air? Is that what it is? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got the base model, so it's 128 gigs of storage. I was like, I just need it to install mm-hmm. the betas. I might not even keep it. I don't know. I just need it. Like, I need to beta now. It's already been 2 days, and like all my friends were texting me, you know, screenshots. You were too, of dark mode and whatever. I need the beta, please.
Our memojis with
exactly.
AirPods.
I know. Yeah. Ugh, that was really what sold me, is the memojis with the AirPods.
The ultimate flex.
Exactly. Not only do you have AirPods, but you have an AR-capable device. So I get this little Mac at 128 gigs. I pop it open. I'm at the Apple Store because the hotel Wi-Fi was utter crap. I was actually trying to download the IPSW file on a PC so that I could put on a flash drive to get it on the Mac. But the Wi-Fi at the hotel was really bad. So it's like, I just have to sit at the Apple Store for 6 hours. Lovely. So I get to the Apple Store, Mac. Sit down at the Genius Bar, ask for Ethernet, and they got me Ethernet, and so started downloading the Xcode beta because that's the most important one, because you need that before you can do anything else. And so I got the Xcode beta installed, and while I was downloading the Xcode beta, I was also downloading Catalina because from what I was hearing on the internet, it sounded like you also needed Catalina to get iOS beta. I now know that's not true, but I thought that's how that was working. And so by the time I downloaded everything, my disk was full. I'd filled up 128 gigabytes. I was like, what on earth? I downloaded 14 gigabytes worth of software, Xcode beta, Xcode 11 beta, and macOS Catalina. It wasn't a lot. So I look at my disk drive, and it's like, you know, zero apps, 14 gigabytes of downloads or whatever. and then like 80 gigabyte, 90 gigabytes, 100 gigabytes of system. And I'm just like, what the heck is this system? Why do you do this to me? And so I was kind of bummed out, but luckily I was at the Genius Bar, so I just flagged down a Genius, and he showed me this app called Grand Perspective.
Grand Perspective.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so basically what it does is it looks at your entire disk and kind of makes a graph of how big files are, and it looks at all the files. So if you just look under like Apple About My Mac and then storage, it just, you know, very high level, and it just says system, which is really frustrating because I was ready to nuke this Mac again and re-download it all because I couldn't unzip Xcode with the little storage that I had. And so anyway, figured it out that it was iCloud. Some iCloud file tree was trying to download, and it was like hogging up all of my storage. And also Photos was trying to download my entire photo library. And I'm just like, what are you doing? So I signed out of iCloud and deleted all the files, and then it all worked fine. So I have a Mac now.
Good.
MacBook Air. Still on the fence about keeping it, but I am enjoying Sidecar, and I can see myself keeping this for the rest of the summer, especially if they make us do this process to download updates. Like, could you imagine beta 1 or beta 2 coming out and we have to do this all over again? I might just jump in the river.
Oh, God.
Jeez. This will be awful.
Yeah. I hope it's over the air from here on out.
Yeah. So the last little update blip that I had was I updated my phone to 13, and when I opened up my phone, it was like, this Apple Watch needs to be updated to continue working. I'm like, okay, I guess I need to update this to iOS 6. I didn't want to update it to iOS 6. Oh, well. So I downloaded the profile.
WatchOS 6.
Oh, WatchOS 6. Thank you.
You don't want to put iOS 6 on the watch.
Very weird. Yes. WatchOS 6 on the watch.
Switches to skeuomorphism.
Scott Forstall would be proud.
Right.
So I downloaded the profile, and when I opened up the Apple Watch app, it was like, you must update this watch to do anything else. You have two choices, update or unpair. It's like, okay, update. Mm. And it was like, downloading WatchOS 5.2.1, whatever. And it's like, that's not what's going to help here.
Right.
So it's like, okay, well, maybe I'll unpair it, and then when I repair it, I can install the profile or whatever. Nope.
Sure.
It is now unpaired, and I cannot pair it because it's not on the right software. So tomorrow afternoon's project is going to be so I've downloaded the iOS 12 IPSW file, and I need to reinstall that on my iPhone, repair my Apple Watch, download the beta profile for the Apple Watch, up my phone back to 13, and then download iOS or WatchOS 6. So I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is way too much work. Come on, Apple, please make it more simple. Anyway,
yeah, they definitely made it rough. It might even be worth just waiting for the public beta.
I can't. I don't have a watch. I'm wearing a watch that literally anytime you look at it, it's just like the start screen with like the weird circles, and it's like 44 millimeter stainless steel designed
by
Apple
new
in
one.
California. Yeah, but that
buy wouldn't... a new watch to hold you over for at least 2 weeks, return it, and then switch to public beta.
No. Well, so
if
watch
thinking about switching up.
Go ahead.
If anyone's switching about. Thinking about switching to WatchOS 6, consider the brickings, because apparently it's happened to several people.
I don't mind getting a new watch. That's fine. I just want it to work. Please. My streaks are gone. I was working on my June
streaks
streak.
Have been missing.
Well.
No more June.
But
metal,
I can't say that they didn't warn me. Before we downloaded the beta, it was like, this is only
that's
for
true.
Thrill seekers.
Yes,
do
they
not...
literally said that. Yeah.
Yes. So you know that good old Apple ad? Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels.
Yeah.
Here's to the thrill seekers. It's like, Apple, exactly. You have a way of finding good names.
They do. Yeah, that it is thrill seeking. It hasn't been that draining for my battery.
Oh, it's been fine
for WatchOS 6. It's been fine so far. But anyone who puts a beta 1 on their product, you gotta be ready for that thing to be bricked. Worst case scenario.
Yep.
So that's why I'll do it to my iPhone, because I have a backup iPhone if I need to. But I will not do it to my iMac, because I don't have a backup iMac Pro that I can edit on if something goes wrong.
Smart.
I even have a backup Apple Watch if I need to.
True. Yep.
Got backups for everything. But Maybe I should have put the betas on the backups.
That is probably what I should have done, because I did have, well, I don't know. I don't know, dude. Does the iPhone 6 even run? No, it doesn't, does it? It doesn't run iOS 13.
6S does, not the 6.
Not your old 6. That won't do it.
As predicted. Though I'm amazed iPadOS went back all the way to the iPad Mini 4.
I know.
I was not imagining that.
Me neither. It's like, whoa, that's an A8 chip. Come on.
It's like, yeah, you can have dark mode, but the iPhone 6 with the A8 chip, no.
Exactly.
That can't have dark mode.
Exactly. Like, what?
It's difference of RAM, I believe.
Yeah, but.
I think it was a RAM decision, but anyway, I think we've covered it.
Yeah,
I think
so
that wraps up essentially everything that happened at the event. I think the sad part is there's really not going to be much any surprises for the rest of the year. That was it.
Yep.
You know?
That was it, folks.
The big wild card, the big exciting announcement of 2019 was that Mac Pro in display, and we got it, and it's out, and no one can buy it. And that's it. Like, we know everything now. The iPhone is no mystery.
I'm still looking forward to the 16-inch MacBook Pro refresh. I think that
won't be this year.
Oh, that's not going to be this year? I thought that was in the fall.
No. Oh. I'm pretty confident. Well, nothing's 100%, but typically they refresh the MacBooks every 4 years, design-wise. And
you're right. 2016 to 2020.
If you go back and look 2016, yeah.
That's 12, smart. Very 8. Smart.
So it would make sense. And Intel has confirmed Apple's working on their own silicon chips for the next-gen MacBooks.
Yay!
And Intel says that'll be 2020. So to me, it makes the most amount of sense that they're going to switch to ARM-based Macs in probably some point next year. But I doubt it. I'd be highly surprised if they refreshed the MacBook Pros like they did a couple weeks ago and then redesigned them like 6 months later.
Yeah.
I feel like that would suck for the people who bought the new ones. But if I had to put a guess on it, I would say probably October 2020. Usually when MacBooks are unveiled, they're usually around October. So we still got over a year away from that redesign. I'm interested in it. But for the rest of this year, there's not going to be too much. Maybe some new AirPods. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
They might do that. I don't know, though. It's kind of iffy at this point whether or not they're going to redesign them or make Pro Pods or a Pro version of AirPods. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's probably the last surprise, if anything. But the iPhone is an open book. We know everything about the next iPhone.
I know.
There's already phone cases coming out.
You know what I am excited about, though?
The Tesla!
What's that?
Tesla! Pickup truck.
Yes.
That's
pickup
what
truck.
We gotta look forward
also,
to.
Falcon Heavy is launching in a few days. I'm excited about that. You know?
Oh, that's okay. Right.
I love that. Tesla, SpaceX, Apple, Telosif.
Yeah,
those are my four companies.
Tesla online chat for a big portion of this morning, asking them about the standard range model. Yeah, very curious.
What did you learn?
I learned some things not even the person I was talking to knew about. He had to go look it up.
Mm.
And so, fun fact, as we wrap up the podcast, here's some standard range Tesla. So if some of you were wondering what happened to the $35,000 Model 3, why is that not on the website? It's considered a special order. You either have to go to a store to order one or call it in specifically. And you can upgrade that Model 3, which is essentially almost the same hardware as the standard range plus. They just use software to downscale a ton of the features. So down the road, they don't have this as an option yet, but they're saying they're going to launch an option via software later that will allow you to upgrade the $35,000 one to a standard range plus, which isn't much, but it'll give you an extra 20 miles of range. It'll give you autopilot. It'll give you the LED fog lights. It will give you... there's a whole list of things.
I love Tesla. What other company does that?
Music.
You can buy an upgrade package for your car. Come on, guys. Over the air.
Well, they're just taking a hit in profit because it's the same car as the Standard Range Plus, essentially.
Well, that's why they got rid of it. They want you to buy the Standard Range Plus. Too many people are just buying the $35,000 one.
Yeah, they were highly encouraging people to not. And I asked them, how much is autopilot and full self-driving after delivery on the standard range? And guess what? It's the same as buying it before delivery. Same price.
Really? Interesting.
Which is not the case with
the standard range plus.
All the other ones. which they said is subject to change. I was talking to the guy online, and he was like, yeah, they might change that, though. It's not going to always be that way. But currently, if you're in the market for a Model 3 and you want a special order, the 35K one, mm-hmm. you can decide you want autopilot after that purchase, and it'll still cost an extra $3,000, just like during checkout it would cost an extra $3,000.
Yep.
Like it does for the Model Y. And full self-driving, which is an extra $6,000 in checkout, is also an extra $6,000 after checkout. So if you want to just wait until it's legal, it might be more expensive by then. So no promises. Yeah. But anyway, I was curious about those upgrades, and I thought that was kind of interesting for the people who might want to save a few grand if they don't care that much about the range or LED fog lights.
Can you get it in different colors, though, or does it only come in black?
Yes, fully configurable. You can still get the other color options, and they're the same add-on prices as the regular one. So that means technically if you wanted to take the hit and range and some of those, oh, advanced audio, that was one of the features. They dumbed down the speakers a little bit. But again, you'd be able to enable them down the road if you wanted to. Anyway, just kind of cool stuff. And then I'm looking at hopefully buying a Tesla next year, likely end of next year. So I'm like a hawk looking at the prices. So
that's good.
Just making sure I know all the options and configurations possible. Yep. But anyway.
All right.
Thanks for recording with me.
Quite a show. Yeah. It's been a good special show. Sorry Randy wasn't here. He'll be back next week.
Yeah, Randy was busy today, but it was fun going over everything with you.
Absolutely. Happy dub dub. And good morning,
everybody.
Good morning.
Enjoy your betas.
Good morning.
Install wisely.
Yes.
And we will talk to you all later. So thank you, everybody, for watching. Please write us a review on Apple Podcasts so that our ratings go up. We'd greatly appreciate it. And we will talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.